Fuck you. That's my name.
I'm kind of excited to talk about this one.
Well,
I had a really good time.
Let's fucking do it. That being said, this is Sharks Across Hollywood, and this is our first fucking Patreon episode of 2023, and we still don't know what it's called yet. I'm thinking Let's Kung Fu or Everybody's Kung Fu Fighting, but that's too long. Let's Kung Fu is probably the closest one that we can get. It's not a pun, but there you have it.
How about 12 months of death, because this is Five Fingers of Death. I mean, technically it's King Boxer, but you know.
It's King Boxer. Oh yeah, yeah, there you go. We're talking about King Boxer, aka Five Fingers of Death, which is a way cooler title.
They should have stuck with Five Fingers of Death. Way better title. And honestly, way more appropriate to the movie.
Oh, did we also mention that we're breaking into the ShotScope box set that was released by Arrow Video a couple years ago?
I gotta say, I was a little trepidatious about this because, unlike you, I don't have this vast experience, you know, or this undying love of all things martial arts, or at least martial arts movies. I do enjoy me some martial arts movies, but I've also sat through some martial arts movies that were kind of a snooze fest for me, you know. So I was going into this going, well, am I going to enjoy this? I mean, you know, Shaw Brothers have this reputation. I loved Kill Bill. Obviously, having seen this now, really obviously that was based on some of these Shaw Brothers movies. I mean, literally, this movie opens with the sound effect, which I'll throw in here.
Oh my God, that fucking sound. Oh.
Yeah, the I'm gonna kill this bitch sound from Kill Bill. And yeah, so this was a really, really, like, really good experience for me. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie, just start to finish all along the way. This movie was a blast. Helps that it opened with that sound that was used in Kill Bill, because I was like, okay, all right. At least, if nothing else, this movie is going to be an education. And it was, but it was also a lot of fun.
Yeah, you start to notice that Quentin Tarantino watched a lot of these fucking movies.
Fuck yes. Like, I would, just based on this movie, I would argue that the entirety of Kill Bill Volume 1 was his Shaw Brothers movie, and then Kill Bill Volume 2, that's why he said, like, there was a logical breaking point in the story when they told him he had to split it into two movies, and then Part 2 is his more American movie.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing Kill Bill. Again, I watched halfway Kill Bill, but I was too busy talking to chicks on the internet at the time, so I wasn't really paying attention.
Have you not watched Kill Bill start to finish?
Not really. No, I have not genuinely sat down to watch it. But now I'm like, fuck. After watching Pulp Fiction and realizing that I actually did like that movie, I'm like, oh, well, Kill Bill's the logical one that I would definitely like.
Yeah, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't love that movie, especially Volume 1.
Maybe a few too many Uma Thurman foot shots, but other than that,
there, you know, is a lot of Uma Thurman's feet in that, but I mean, it makes sense within the context of the story.
Yeah, I remember that scene. Move your foot. And then Quentin Tarantino, you can hear him just like fapping in the background.
A little bit, yeah.
But I wasn't expecting to like this, but I liked it a lot because.
Wait, you went in not expecting to like this? Okay, I'm going to need some explanation okay. of that.
And I got some. Until I watched this, I had seen three Shaw Brothers movies.
Which ones?
The One-Armed Swordsman, 36 Chamber of Shaolin, and Super Inframan.
Okay.
And I watched all three of them when I was still living in Great Falls, and I was just, yeah, I just hadn't quite grown an appreciation for stuff yet. Like, I wanted to dive in because they were Dragon Dynasty DVDs, you know?
Yeah.
Except for Super Inframan. I had to rent that one because I'm like, oh, hey, Power Rangers, let's check this out. This looks stupid. And, but yeah, I didn't think they were bad movies necessarily, but I didn't like them really. I didn't appreciate it because I had just watched like a bunch of Jackie Chan movies, and Golden Harvest is like the universal to Shaw Brothers canon kind of.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can see that.
So yeah, Golden Harvest has Jackie Chan and Yuen Biu and Sammo Hung and Donnie Yen. these fucking power and Jet Li, these fucking powerhouses. They, you know, the Bruce Willis, Schwarzenegger, and Stallone and Van Damme of Hong Kong, essentially. Right. Right. So those movies were all, they always had like a quality that was better, bigger budget, better stunts, better fight scenes. The fight scenes in this movie were fucking awesome though, and I was not expecting that.
I mean, I really enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed the hell out of the fight scenes. But yeah, like nobody compares to Jackie Chan in his prime. Like just nobody does. Bruce Lee, barely, you know, like Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan are like, Bruce Lee's the only guy who's anywhere close. Okay, now, admittedly, I haven't watched a lot of martial arts movies. I've watched, you know, some of the essentials, but not even all of the essentials. But from what I've seen, like nobody does action like Jackie Chan. The dude was on another level. So yeah, I could see why going from that to this would be a hard break.
Yeah, it was, yeah, because I watched a lot of his 80s and early 90s movies when I was on that kick back then, and it's just like everybody's flying around doing flips, breaking through shit and fighting and everything so fast. It's like Jesus Christ. Like,
and there's no sloppiness in those Jackie Chan movies. Those movies' choreography is razor fucking sharp.
And that's because Jackie Chan, everybody's like, he's so great. And then somebody said Jackie Chan's not really great. He's patient. He'll do something over 100 times just to get it just right.
Yeah, but you got to have a budget for that. You know, you got to have a crew that and a director that's willing to work with that, to willing to do those shots 100 times to get them right, you know, and an actor, of course.
Yeah, but now I'm super excited about breaking into this stuff now, because I watched this movie and I'm like, this is really good, and I appreciate it, and I'm very interested. I even ordered Shawscope 2, which has the two or three, I don't remember how many there are, all the 36 Chambers movies with Gordon Liu, so that's going to be awesome.
Gordon Liu's pretty awesome. He played two different roles in the Kill Bill movies.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so they're going to, so those are some of the classics ones. Even in this one, we have like the Crippled Avengers and shit, which is a super popular one from back in the day. And then Dirty Ho, which is a really funny title, and I thought it was about a woman, but it's about a guy named, whose name is Ho.
What title? Oh my God. Well, all I can say is I just hope that this isn't like last year where we start off with this fucking amazing movie and then it's just downhill for 3 months after that, you know.
I had the same thought, because fuck.
This movie was an absolute banger. I'm going to be rewatching this for sure.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the commentary after I watched it the first time, because I'm like, I'm just going to take a nap now. That took a lot out of me. So I turned on the commentary and the guy seemed pretty knowledgeable. He wrote a script. He had a script he was reading while doing the commentary. So he took it very seriously.
Oh, you mean he was doing commentary from a script?
Yeah,
is what you mean. Okay, I thought you were like, yeah, no, he just started reciting the screenplay he was working on. It was weird. It was like he couldn't get a meeting with any executives, and he was pitching it to the audience.
That'd be funny. I can't remember what his name is, but he's like a Hong Kong film historian and shit.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
well, that's cool. I'll have to check out some of them supplemental materials.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dragon Dynasty had Bay Logan, and everybody else has all these assorted Hong Kong film experts.
Okay. Isn't Bay Logan that guy who everybody was pissed off when they found out he was working with 88 Films or something, and 88 Films ended up dropping him because of, like, he's basically like the Weinstein of Hong Kong? Or is that someone else?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. Weinstein, Asian executive, Bay Logan. Oh God, what did he do? God damn it.
Are you just finding out about this?
Yes. God, fuck.
No, I, like, when they were doing, fuck, what movie were they doing?
That was
I can't
a long
remember,
time ago, too. Oh, fuck this guy.
It was earlier this year. Yeah, there was some controversy about it, and apparently he is the Weinstein of Hong Kong. And 88 Films was having him do all this work with him, and then the fans were like, fuck that guy, we're not buying shit from you. And 88 Films was like, whoa, hey, sorry, we cut him out. We fired him. We didn't realize you guys were going to get so pissed about this.
Damn it. Damn it, damn it, damn it.
But they did fire him. They did stop working with him.
That is annoying. There's this movie. Yeah, he wrote that movie, and I like that movie a lot. Now it's going to be hard for me to watch it, even though I probably will and be a fucking asshole about it. A movie called Lady Bloodfight with Amy Johnston, not Amy Jo Johnson, but Amy Johnston. She's this super cute looking blonde martial arts chick, but she is a fucking badass.
Well, I haven't heard of that one, but
it's basically just girl blood sport.
Okay, yeah, that sounds cool. I'm down with that. I like blood sport.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Fucking Baylor. Why? Why can't we just have nice things? Why can't nice people make nice things?
Sadly, I would guess that it's because the power of a position like producer, director, things like that attracts people who are power hungry, who want to use that power to take advantage of people. That'd be my guess.
That's annoying.
It is. It's fucking irritating as shit.
I mean, granted, it's annoying for me. I can only imagine how it feels for all the people that, you know, it actually affected. I'm just like, oh, fucking
nope,
stupid.
No one's been
guy.
More affected than us. We definitely have it the worst of everyone.
Oh, God. So... Oh, do you want to talk exploitative producers, though? Fucking Shaw Brothers and Golden Harvest. They both were exactly like that.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Maybe
all right,
less.
Let's get into it.
I haven't heard anything sexual. I'm sure there was a lot of fucking nonsense, but it's one of those, because back then, studios owned their actors, especially. It was even worse in Hong Kong, I imagine.
Oh, okay. So like the old golden age of Hollywood system.
Yeah, exactly like that, only the 70s in Hong Kong.
Right, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that is... That's a system that's going to lend itself to abuse. Holy shit.
Yeah, so they own all the actors, they own all the sets, like all these movies... They look the same because they were all shot in the exact same place on this fucking studio. Like, I'm sure they did some location shooting, but it's
yeah,
just,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just this giant fucking back lot that they have.
I could see that.
And when I first watched,
because the sets do look really good.
Yeah, they do. And yeah, when I first watched this, I'm like, oh, this one doesn't have a whole lot of Shaw Brothers-y sets and stuff. They were outside a lot. And then I look at it again, I'm like, wait, they're not outside at all. That's a fucking curtain. What the
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
But yeah, I guarantee you'll see these, all 12 of these movies that we're going to cover this year probably use the exact same sets.
It'll be funny to see the different schools pop up as other schools.
I can almost guarantee it. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, it's that thing. I'm sure the same day that half the stuff was shot, they shot 30 other movies.
They were just like, all right, today you guys have the school. Tomorrow it's this movie.
Because that's what they did. They're like, how many movies can we release this year? 20? All right, cool. Make it 30 instead.
God damn.
I don't actually know, like, what's the most, I should look, what's the most Shaw Brothers released in one year?
Well, I mean, it's nothing compared to Bollywood, man. Bollywood cranks it, or at least in the 90s, cranked out something like 800 movies a year. Now, granted, that's all the studios, but still, fuck.
Well, here, this movie came out in, I think, 72, 73, somewhere in there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
2,000 years later.
32, 33. 1973, they released 33 movies. That's a lot.
I'm not going to keep you counting through every movie. 33 movies, though. That's
Wow. That's just 1973. Jesus Christ.
Damn.
The list in 74 is even longer. So I was.
Something tells me Arrow Video's got a lot more Shawscope collections coming.
I was lowballing pretty hard there when I said 30 movies, I guess.
Well, fuck 1973. Five Fingers of Death, aka King Boxer, came out in 1972, and that's the movie we're talking about today, so let's fucking talk about it.
I counted while I was waiting for you. 37 movies in 72.
Jesus Christ.
they were a machine, goddamn. That's a lot. Okay. So, Five Fingers of Death, a.k.a. King Boxer, a.k.a. Invisible Boxer. Fucking these movies.
Wait. Invisible Boxer? That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Did I say... I think I might have meant to say Invincible Boxer.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Invincible Boxer.
All right, that's still not 100% accurate, but better. Five Fingers of Death is the one.
Oh, yeah,
that's the one.
That should be my band's name, Five Fingers of Death. But there's already Five Finger Death Punch, and I call them Five Finger Butt Punch. So
yeah,
I hate them a lot.
Guaranteed, they already pulled their band name from this movie.
maybe. So you know how these movies go: overly long opening credit sequences, some Chinese names that kind of make you laugh, but we're gonna pretend like they didn't. The director's name is Cheng Cheng Ho. Ha ha ha.
It was interesting that they not only had the Chinese letters up there, but they also had the English translations, like, as part of the opening titles. Like, it wasn't subbed.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the opening credits at least were from the Western release.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense, you know, if they wanted to do a Western release of it, that they would put that stuff in. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, a lot of them do that. It's kind of nice. But yeah, Shaw Brothers, especially Shaw Brothers released a lot of their movies. That's why like the Wu-Tang Clan and stuff, they got their whole shtick from Shaw Brothers movies and kung fu movies of the time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, the RZA and his man with the iron fists and shit.
I mean, they literally named their big breakout album Enter the 36 Chambers.
Oh, they did. That's right. Now I need to go and listen to them.
They're pretty good. You know, I mean, it's like not so much the sketches, you know, because all rap albums have sketches on them. I didn't really enjoy any of those, but their songs are, they got some bangers on there.
That's cool. That's exciting. I'll listen to it one day. Maybe. I don't know. I'm lazy, so. So there's an old man walking down the street, right? What the fuck did I write that? I think I was making a joke to myself. Old man walking down the street. Hey, hey, hey. I don't know. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know where you were going with that either. I mean, like, maybe a Fat Albert reference, but he's not fat. I mean, he's a little chunky, but it is a little funny during this first fight how whenever they cut to a wide shot, the old man grows a neck. Because in the close-up, he's just like shoulders and head.
He's old, man. They got a... It's like watching Three Ninjas where Grandpa loses like 50 fucking pounds every time they cut away and he's fighting. Yeah.
Some of the stuntmen were not good matches for the actors they were doing. Like in the final fight, the stuntman they have for the rival school's boss's son. Yeah, I don't know why they thought that guy could pull off doubling for him, but whatever.
Because they were on a fucking schedule, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they were cranking out 40 fucking movies a year, I guess they were on a schedule.
So it's a Shaw Brothers movie, so like 2 seconds into the movie, there's a fight. This old man gets fucking ambushed by all these assholes, and he does all right for a minute, even though, you know, the other guys all have knives and shit. His assistant person, I don't know who that person is. I don't think they ever get named or anything. Goes to tell...
Yeah, if they did, I don't recall.
He runs and goes to tell our main character his name, Xiao Xiao. We'll call him Joe. I don't know.
Oh, what was his name? I forgot to go straight to the cast list.
It's spelled Chihao. Chihao, yeah. Chao Chihao.
Okay.
But he, you know, the assistant goes and gets him, and there's a girl, and her name is Ying Ying. That's fucking easy to remember.
Yeah. I did notice when they said her name, they said the second one just a little different. It was like Ying Yang.
Yeah, yeah, they did do that. It was kind of...
So, like, that one kind of threw me. I'm wondering, like, I mean, obviously, there's going to be subtleties to the language that, you know, you just don't pick up on unless you speak it as your first language. But, like, why would they spell them the same if they pronounce them differently? It's weird.
Because they're smarter than Americans and they can keep that shit straight.
Holy fuck, Bolo Young was in this?
Oh, yeah, we'll get to him. I'll point him out to you.
Sorry, did I derail what you were saying?
Almost.
Like,
not quite.
Yeah. I saw his picture. I was like, huh?
Yeah, that one got me too.
Because I do not remember him in this.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay, then I'll blow your mind a little bit for a second.
Oh, my God. He was the Mongolian guy?
Yeah.
That did not look like him at all.
It's because he was like fucking 12 years old.
Yeah, I guess it was like 15 years before he showed up in Bloodsport.
Yeah, Bloodsport's like over a decade away.
Wow, okay, mind blown. Yikes. Sorry, let's keep going. The old man.
So now our main character is getting friendly with this girl who is essentially his sister, but he's like totally gonna, he wants to fuck her like real bad. It's not his sister, but like they've grown up together since they were little kids because he's an orphan, I guess.
Yeah, and their master keeps referring to him as brother and he keeps referring to her as sister.
Yes, but the master also says, I'm going to let you have my daughter's hand in marriage and shit. Like, okay, let's tone that shit down a little bit, guys. This isn't Game of Thrones, all right? But he goes and he saves the old man's ass, basically just by showing up. He just walks up and those dudes just run away.
Yeah, I mean, the old man was, he was holding his own. He did get sliced in the arm, but, you know, I mean, that was it, which is kind of surprising, especially considering how easily he goes down later on in the movie.
Yeah, but those guys are supposed to be badass, so.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess that's true. The Japanese fighters are more hardcore.
So the girl's actual brother, her real-life brother, is there visiting. I can't remember his name. Diamond or something. And he's been training with He's been training with Master Sun, who is slightly better than I call this guy the good Sifu, because Sifu means master and all. you know.
Oh, okay. I was not aware of that.
And then the bad guy, I call him Bad Sifu because it's just easier that way, and I don't remember his name.
Well, like I thought of him as, you know, like there's the good master, which is the guy we meet first, the guy who is having trouble, and then there's the hard master, which is the guy he goes to, who the brother or whatever, like he was his student, and then there's the bad master.
Bad Sifu. Sifu's a fun word to say.
Sounds like seafood. Bad seafood. Yeah, you don't want to mess with that.
So I think that this chick just wants to see these two guys fight each other. She's like, hey, well, you've been studying with this guy and you've been here. You guys should spar. It's been a while.
Yeah, these guys spar fucking hard.
Yeah. And he, you know, the guy who came from Sun, who is the middle Sifu, I guess. The hard Sifu. He kind of kicks the guy's ass a little bit. It's suggested the good Sifu, he decides that he needs to go train with Master Sun because he has a lot of natural ability, but it's not able to come out because he's too old to teach him. It's just, it'll be better and, you know, whatever. And there's a tournament that's going to happen and somebody good needs to win, because if the bad Sifu wins, then he's going to control all of Kung Fu in the northern, wherever the fuck they are. And that's a bad thing.
Yeah, there's sort of this implication about, you know, like the way the political structure of the martial arts world works in the larger world of this movie, which is interesting because, like, it's never occurred to me that there was such a structure. But of course, as soon as someone says it, you're like, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
Do not try to convince me that the guys who made The Karate Kid did not watch this movie. It's essentially the same plot, only he's not a skinny little dork when he goes to his new school.
Yeah, except he doesn't get a chance to. Daniel doesn't kill Kreese at the end.
Mr. Miyagi almost does at the beginning of Karate Kid 2, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. Mr. Miyagi does own Kreese at the beginning of Karate Kid 2.
Which was technically originally the end of Karate Kid 1. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I was not aware of that. So that is how they wanted to end the movie.
Yep, with Daniel asking one of the dumbest fucking questions anyone has ever asked anybody.
Did they shoot that footage for part one and then just use it in part two, or did they shoot it for part two and just take from the script of part one?
That I'm not entirely sure. I would imagine that they just shot it for part one and then just cut it out and then threw it back in there at the beginning of the second one.
Interesting.
But I don't know, man. I wasn't
because
there.
Because it plays so directly into the resolution of part two. You know, best defense, no be there.
Oh, yeah, it does. Best defense, no be there. You mean don't be there?
Johnny's... Mr. Miyagi said no be there. And if it's good enough for Mr. Miyagi, it's fucking good enough for you, for you and me.
Johnny's such a prick. And it's so fucking funny.
But we're not talking about The Karate Kid. We're talking about Five Fingers of Death.
So we're going to cut to somewhere else with other characters that we will get to know eventually. So this guy is an asshole. His name is Ming, and he is the bad Sifu's son, which we learn a little bit later. He's got his little gang of fucking ruffians, I suppose. They're like pushing people over and stealing shit and just being assholes.
And this guy is perfectly cast because he's got the face of a douche.
He does. He really
does. Just immediately.
And then this is where we see Bolo. Bolo young. Bolo is very young, in fact.
Yes, so young as to be unidentifiable to me. I still have trouble believing.
I didn't think it was him at first. I had to look at it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's him, right? Because there's another guy in Drunken Master who is also a super buff Chinese guy, right? And those aren't exactly the most common body types out there. But everybody's like,
yeah,
it's Bolo,
like the gigantic, just jacked,
yeah,
Chinese guy. Yeah,
everybody assumes that the guy in Drunken Master is Bolo Young, but I don't think it is. It's not.
Huh?
Just because it's a buff Chinese guy, they're like, it's Bolo. It's like, no, it's not.
Drunken Master was not too long after this, right? I mean, that was like the mid 70s,
78. Yeah.
Oh, so late 70s. Yep. Okay. So yeah, 5-6 years.
So he'd still be, you know, he hadn't quite broken in America yet with his star-making turn as the villain in Bloodsport, you know?
Yeah, he was one of the iconic villains of the 80s.
And then going on to play a good guy in Expect No Mercy? That was so weird. No, TC 2000, sorry.
Yeah, okay, that was the one. Because I was like, yeah, what was the one? Because I knew it wasn't Expect No Mercy that I saw him in playing the good guy.
Yeah, that threw me. I'm like, he's not a good guy. Get the fuck out of here.
That was just bizarre.
But so Bolo,
good movie though.
Bolo is like a Mongolian strong man, I guess, and his handler, whoever he is like challenging people to fight him. He's like, you give me 5 coins, I give you 100 if you can beat him. And of course it's all a scam because this guy's a badass and nobody's beating him.
And then who's the guy who shows up in...
Chen Long, I think his name is. And he's got an awesome haircut.
I'm trying to find him. I can't because he's so... Like, he's so very different looking from his actual photo in this movie.
He is Ki-Joo Kim. Oh, he died in 2001. That's a bummer.
Oh, okay. There he is. Oh, wow. Yeah, he is radically different looking in this movie from his IMDb photo.
But yeah, so he comes in and with his giant fucking hard head just beats the shit out of this guy. And it's pretty
it's like his forehead is his superpower.
And, well, yeah, he gets a chance to lose his head here later. We'll talk about that. These movies are violent as fuck, too, and it's kind of amazing.
I remember you saying something about the Shaw Brothers movies were way bloodier than the Golden Harvest movies, and I was like, okay, yeah. There's a lot more blood getting slung around in this. All right,
it takes a minute for it to happen, but when it does, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
And then
Lady Snowblood a Shaw Brothers? I can't remember. Because I watched that last year and fucking loved it.
I don't know. I think, isn't that a Japanese movie?
Oh, yeah, it is a Japanese movie. You're right. So, obviously, it's not.
It's a Toho movie.
That makes sense.
Also cool.
Very good movie. Okay, but yeah, completely different. You know what? I should have thought of the shoes, because Lady Snowblood wears those Japanese block shoes.
The little clunky shoes. Clackers.
Which was interesting to see show up in this, because I never really thought of them as specifically Japanese, but as soon as the Japanese guys show up and they're all wearing those shoes, I was like, oh yeah, I guess that is more of that's a Japanese thing, isn't it? Huh. It's like you start realizing all these blind spots you have the more that's a great argument for why it's good to watch international cinema.
Yeah, you can't tell me I'm not fucking cultured, because you know they might be like screaming at each other and like throwing kicks at everybody's head, but at least I'm fucking watching it.
Yeah, you're getting out there and getting some exposure to other cultures.
I am.
Maybe it may be another culture from, you know, like fucking 100 years ago or something like that. But I honestly can't tell when this movie's supposed to be set, because they're all using swords and knives and stuff and fighting like it's the Middle Ages. But then they have electric lights, too.
I noticed that. I'm like,
I'm very confused.
Yeah, but it's really weird, because I actually get confused about, like, electricity in general. I'm watching movies from, it's like the 1800s, and I'm like, why do they have lights? What the fuck's going
on? Well, what's weird to think is that they had electricity in the 1800s, but there were also places in the 1960s and 50s that didn't have electricity in the United States. I was listening to an interview about Lyndon Johnson, you know, the former president of the United States, vice president to, what was it, Nixon?
I'm sorry, that's the wrong answer.
Sure, man.
And they said that the reason he would always win his when he was like a senator, or I can't remember whether he was a senator or a governor or what before he was vice president. The reason he won, and that the people of that county or jurisdiction or district or whatever would always love him, is because he, quote, brought the lights. Oh. They had no electricity until Johnson was elected.
Well, all right, then.
Johnson was president in the 60s.
That's kind of crazy. I'm not. Wow. Yeah, isn't that weird to think about? There was a law that interracial marriage was illegal, right? And I think it got like fully repealed or whatever in the 60s. And I was just thinking, like, that is not long enough. That was really concerning to me when I heard that.
Dude, I was flipping through Netflix last night. Just, you know, because I finally resubscribed to watch Glass Onion shortly before the end of the year, like literally since the last time we talked. But I saw an interview, it was like a documentary about black cinema, and they had Samuel L. Jackson on there talking about how he grew up in segregation. And I was like, fuck, that is not that long ago. I mean, I realize he's not a young dude, but
he's like in his 70s now or something.
Yeah, but like still, okay, Samuel L. Jackson grew up in segregation? Fuck, that is recent.
That is unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we don't even think about it, because we're just these dumb little white kids. Never really had anything. Like, we're poor dumb little white kids, but, like, who cares, right? A cop never shot me for playing with a toy gun, you know? And I remember a very specific situation where I pointed a toy gun at a cop who was on the street corner of my house fucking doing the speed checking. Oh. And thinking about it now, I'm like, fuck, that guy could have totally shot me.
I just watched Neil Brennan's special Blocks last night, and he's got a joke about it. And like he says, I think it's important to recognize white privilege when you encounter it. And he talks about how he gets pulled over for doing like 70 or something in like a 35. He's like, oh, that's bad, you know. He's like, I feel like I'm getting a ticket for this one. And the officer came up and was like, you know, I'm going to let you off with a warning. And he was like, oh, this is wrong. All right. I need to call this out somehow. I need to recognize this somehow. I need to at least call it what it is. And he says, so I said, well, thank you, officer. It's been a white privilege. And the officer said, the privilege was all white. And I was like, what the fuck?
Well, I hope that joke is true, and it's and the cop was in on the joke and just having a good day that day.
Oh, fuck.
That is pretty funny. So anyways, after this fight, Ming, the douchebag, he comes up and he's like, you know what? You can take that money, but you got to fight me first. And just when these two, Chen and Ming, are about to start fighting, out of nowhere, the dude's dad shows up and he's like, hey, would you guys knock this shit off? And then he apologizes for his son because his son's a little shithead.
Yeah, that guy
also contradicts every fucking word he says throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, like he starts talking about honor and, you know, like he comes off as this kind of honorable guy right at the beginning. And so this dude,
Chen Lang,
he pledges his loyalty to him, you know, and you can kind of see why, you know, like he intervened on his behalf and then he invites him back to his house and is like treating him with all this respect and stuff. And so he's like, oh, well, you know, you've been really good to me, blah, blah, blah. But then the dude like is the most dishonorable fuck. Like he's just this duplicitous piece of shit. Yeah, he's an interesting character because you see a lot of bad guys like that, but you don't see a lot of bad guys like that who are just like, it's not that you don't see bad guys who are underhanded and dishonorable in a lot of these movies that I've seen anyway, but generally the ones who are underhanded and dishonorable present as underhanded and dishonorable. Like I'm thinking of, you know, like the Zatoichi movies that I've only seen like the first two. Well, and I saw some later ones, but they were like scattered and not in order. But like in those movies, you know, the underhanded boss presents as underhanded, you know, like he'll treat his soldiers with respect, but he treats everyone else really underhanded. But this guy, he'll present to his enemies as a good guy and then stab him in the back, quite literally, as it turns out in this movie.
Except he stabbed him in the front.
Oh, well, that's true. Well, you know, I guess then he was his true friend, because as Oscar Wilde said, a true friend stabs you in the front.
Not the front butt. So at least he didn't stab him in the balls.
But you don't see that very often. At least I should say I have not seen that very often in these types of movies. So it was interesting to say the least.
Yeah, there is that. And he's got a good face for, I hate just the way he curls his fucking lips constantly. Oh my God, this guy. Like you feel weird looking at him like the whole time.
Which one? Which one?
The bad Sifu.
The bad Sifu. Okay. Yeah.
So we also learn that Ming has sent assassins to kill Sun, the middle Sifu. And so we can infer that the reason that the good Sifu from the beginning got attacked is because he sent them there too.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. You know what? Actually, now that you mention that, that clarifies, because later on when they go back and they attack good Sifu, I was like, that seems really out of nowhere. But actually, yeah, like I had forgotten that they were the guys who attacked him in the very beginning.
Yep, they're trying to control all the kung fu, man.
Yeah, I guess it actually makes a lot of sense.
So then that's where we cut. We cut to the gang. They try to get a singing lady whose name is Chu Hung. I keep on calling her the singing lady because I couldn't remember her name in my notes. They try to get her to bring them to Sun as she's singing. And then she runs from him. She bites a dude's hand, all that shit. They end up in a restaurant where Ji Hao is eating, and, you know, she runs in there and she's like, oh my God, help me. And he's like, yeah, okay. So he basically kicks ass and throws dough in the dude's face, and it's a cool little fight scene. And these fight scenes are so good. I was not expecting them to be so good.
Yeah, I really like this one. I mean, I like pretty much all of them. I think there was one where it got a little sloppy, but like it wasn't unenjoyable. It was still a lot of fights.
A
really fun fight scene.
A lot of fights from this era are like really slow and seem really deliberate, and these ones are actually pretty dynamic and cool.
Oh no, yeah. If they're one thing, it is fast-paced. Every one of these fights is like they move.
Like even if you watch the original Drunken Master, it's that kind of slow plodding, like punch, block, kick, block. And it's really like it's more like a dance than a fight.
I haven't watched the original Drunken Master since like the 90s.
Yeah, that's one thing about it that will keep that from being like one of my favorite Jackie Chan movies, just because of that. Like if you watch Legend of Drunken Master, it's, you know, early 90s, so it's Jackie Chan fucking going all ape shit and doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
90s Jackie Chan, man. Without peer.
Yeah, and he still plays a 16-year-old kid in that movie, even though he's fucking 50.
That is fucking ridiculous.
If Jackie Chan was a nicer guy in real life, he'd be like the Robin Williams of Hong Kong.
Yeah, well,
he comes off that way publicly, but he's a,
take what you can get.
He's a huge fucking douche in real life, and it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So as a thank you, she lets Cihao travel with her to, you know, since they're both going in the same direction, she makes it easy on him by letting him travel with her so he can get to Sun and fucking, yeah.
Yeah, and she immediately has the hugest
boner for him. She wants to fuck him so bad. Like in the next scene, on their way there, I guess they stop at this place and he's sleeping outside because it's like all a bunch of girls in this room. And she runs out and she like lays down next to him. And I think she's pretending to be scared.
I think she is scared, but she's playing it up, you know, like she's a little scared, but she definitely, she wants a piece of that.
Oh yeah.
She wants a piece of Zihao.
She definitely does. Zihao finally then makes it to the dojo.
Zihao.
Yeah. He makes it to the dojo or whatever it's called in Kung Fu. I'm not entirely sure. I called it a dojo. I don't think it's a school, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. They keep referring to it as a school.
But then he's made to spar with this dude. And this dude's name is Han. And he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah, I didn't think I thought it was going to be more of a friendly rivalry. It ended up being very unfriendly.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. Sun then, as he get, you know, Zihao gets outclassed by this dude a little bit. And Sun says, there's nothing special about you. But since you traveled such a long way, usually I'd kick your ass to the curb. But since you've come from such a far distance, I'm going to let you be my bitch for about a year. And then maybe I'll let you come inside and train with us, which is essentially what happens.
This is, in that respect, like, this is a great kind of Kung Fu 101 because it's got like all that stuff that I've seen pop up in later Kung Fu movies, you know? So like, I'm wondering if that was like the thought going into the Shaw Scope set is to kind of present Kung Fu 101, because this is a great introduction and it has that, you know, the hard ass master who ends up being the good guy, even though he seems like a dick at first.
Oh yeah. And he comes around pretty quick. Oh, I guess maybe it's not quick. He literally does say, you've been doing this for a year. It's time to let you inside.
Oh God. I had a joke almost. And then like, I started thinking too hard about it and it fucking left me.
What about letting
it was going to be,
inside?
It was going to be about oral sex, you know, like you've been doing this for a year. It's time to let you inside. But, but I lost it. I fucking lost it. I overthought it and it fluttered away like a little bird.
That's okay. The other day I thought of a joke for this next scene, but I forgot it also.
God damn it.
So he's still kind of a bitch. Han makes him...
Which is funny because like he was such a badass at the beginning of the movie, but yeah. But then he gets to this school and can't fight for shit. Like they're literally like, you're barely a beginner. What the fuck? Okay, that's not the impression I got from those first couple of fights at all.
Yeah, but you walked really far, so I'll go easy on you today, I guess.
But apparently, this school is training such badasses that he was barely a beginner, so he has to wait a year.
But Han then makes him, he's like, hey, go get me some wine. And I thought it meant like, hey, there's like a trough out back, go get me some wine from it. But no, he has to go to this bar / restaurant, and all three of these dickheads who are with Bad Sifu, the guy from the beginning who was leading that gang, Ming and Chen Long, they're all there fucking around and being all dickheads.
Yeah, what was that guy from the beginning's name again?
I fucking do not.
Was that Okada?
I think Okada is...
Or is Okada the brother? He's probably the brother.
Okada is one of the samurai, I believe. There's Shotaro. I honestly can't remember.
I was so not able to hold on to the names in this movie. I'm so bad with names already. And then you start making them in other languages. And I'm just like, fuck, I can't follow any of the... Fortunately, they've all got these great, like, martial arts movie faces.
Well, yeah, each one of them has a different look, too. Like, you can...
Yeah, these guys are all really iconic looking, every single one of them.
Yeah, because he's the dude... The other dude is kind of... He looks a little bit like Bad Sifu, bald with a little mustache, I think.
Which guy?
The guy from the beginning, I believe.
Oh, you mean the... I guess... You're talking about the guy who was leading the gang during that first fight.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but he's like nice, clean, bald, and he's got his own look too. I I really didn't have any trouble distinguishing any of the main players in this. I did with a few of the side players. A few of the side players kind of, you know, they muddle together. They don't have distinctive looks. But every one of the lead characters is just so distinctive. And they just have these great, these really great faces.
I really do like this scene, though. Ziao shows up at this place and he's just minding his own business, getting the wine. They start to fuck with him a little bit. They pour wine on him and shit. And he's just like, yeah, okay. And then he leaves. He's being the good guy. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
I can't tell if he's like following rules or if he's just like, nope, that's not why I'm here. I'm not going to engage with this shit, because he clearly is pissed. From his expression, there's no question he wants to throw down on these guys, but he doesn't do it. And then they mention a rule about, what was it? No duels or something.
Oh, did they actually mention that? Because I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Hard-ass Sifu later on, after he
later it said, but I don't think we'd heard it yet.
Yeah, so well, know. That's what I'm saying. They hadn't said anything about it yet, so I wasn't clear on whether that was what he was doing at the time or if it was an unrelated thing. You know, like it's possible that they don't want people getting in individual duels, but if somebody starts talking shit to you, you can lay him out, because again, his rival guy basically starts mocking him in front of everybody for just taking it.
Yeah, even when he gets back to the school, somebody from the school had seen him like getting insulted essentially by these guys and not doing anything about it. And he goes back and he's like, hey, this guy's a pussy. Why wasn't he doing anything? And then everybody's like, yeah, you're a pussy. Why the fuck didn't you fight them?
Yeah, I mean, they call him a coward, which, you know, in the old days, calling someone a coward was a killing offense.
Yeah. Why are you such a bitch for not fighting back? It's like, cause I'm saving it for later. Duh.
As it turns out.
So Chen Long, then he goes to the middle Sifu's school, to threaten him and say, hey, if you don't leave in 3 days, if you guys don't all get the fuck out of here in 3 days, then we'll kill you. So that's fun.
Zhihao doesn't take that sitting down.
No, they don't. I don't even remember what happens in this scene. I didn't take very good notes on that one.
There's a big fight. He comes in and just starts kicking dicks around. And I think he even beats up the rival guy who was like supposed to be, you know, like their best student or something. Maybe he even headbutted the hard-ass Sifu. I can't remember.
Yeah. Chen Long comes. Oh, yeah. That's right. Chen Long fights Han and kind of kicks his ass a little bit. But Zihao is just kind of hanging back.
Wait, okay. So Han is the... Han is the rival?
The douchey student, yeah.
Okay.
And he's like... Son shows up and he's like, yeah, can you guys just not for a minute? And then that's when the guy's like, you leave in 3 days, otherwise fuck you. But then, you know, he attacks Son, and Son kind of kicks his ass a little bit, which is awesome. It's good stuff.
But then he does knock him down, doesn't he? He headbutts him, and that's his superpower, so it takes him down.
There's Son talking shit.
Are you rewatching the movie as we're doing this again?
Just this part real quick. Oh, yeah, he does. He totally headbutts Son, knocks him down, and then he's like, bye. And Son is like, it's fine. I'm cool. But Zihao is not into it. He is fucking over it. So he walks his ass right back down to the bar where those three idiots are fucking hanging out. And this time,
he just fucking, yeah, he Clint Eastwood's this thing.
And he is all fucking business. He kicks ass, and it's awesome.
It's a pretty awesome scene.
It's all good except for the dorky, bouncy music that they're playing during it.
Yeah, the music in this movie wasn't the highlight by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't irritating enough for me to really notice it. I guess the music was just kind of there for me. Everything else I loved about this movie, but the music was just kind of there.
Yeah, that's an issue with like movies from this era for me in general. A lot of the sound effects and music are kind of dated and annoying.
Well, sometimes the dated music sounds great, but I mean, this is from the production schedule you're describing. This sounds like the fucking Roger Corman meat grinder.
yes. It's that
of kung fu cinema.
Imagine if Golan and Globus didn't own Canon and Roger Corman did, and there you go.
Okay. Yeah.
It sounds fucking stressful. That's hurting my brain, yeah, just thinking about it.
So it does not surprise me that the soundtracks are not going to necessarily be the greatest.
So yeah, after Zhihao gets back, he goes in to see the middle Sifu, and this is where he gives him the, what is it, the iron palm technique, some shit? Can't remember.
Yeah, iron palm. I think that's it.
And then he tells him, hey, you know, you can't use this for basically don't use this for personal shit. This is for protection only in serious fucking situations.
Yeah, it's like life and death only.
Yeah, he says, he also tells Zhao that the technique should only be used for righteous deeds. That's what he says.
Yes, yes.
Which is,
I had forgotten that, cool. But yeah. As soon as you said it, I immediately remembered that's what he said. I'm not too sharp this morning. I don't know if you noticed.
Are you ever?
Okay, well, there's no need to get personal about it.
So then we learn that that the bad Sifu is going to bring in these three guys from Japan and they're badasses. I read a synopsis and I'm like, for this, and they're like, oh, three samurai come to do stuff. And I'm like, samurai? What are, is it? Are you saying that just because they're all Asian? But then, no, they're actually samurai. Once I watched the movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, they're actually samurai. Okay, you weren't just being an asshole.
Because you never really know.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So then Zhihao does some intense training with like hands in the hot coals and shit. So he's trying to toughen up those hands so we can get that iron palm technique down. Han wants to spar again. I think he's probably pretty jealous.
This douche.
Yeah. Sun chose Zhihao, by the way, over Han. And Han's like, fuck that.
Yeah.
And Zhihao's like,
Zhihao just like doesn't engage. He's just like, no, I'm not fighting you.
He's like, I don't wanna, man. It's fine. We're fine. But yeah, things go as you'd expect.
Well, honestly, I expected it to get a lot uglier.
Well, that comes later.
Yeah, it does for sure. But I expected it to start getting ugly now. And Zhihao's appeal, sort of an emotional appeal, like he does the puppy dog eyes and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Han gets a little too aggressive.
But yeah, Zhihao shuts him down by just refusing to fight back, basically. Yep.
And then Ying Ying gets the letter from Zhihao. She reads it to the first Sifu. Basically, Zhihao's thanking them for all they did. But he is now loyal to the Sun School. So he's like, fuck you guys, I'm staying here.
That's a mischaracterization. He's way more respectful.
Yes. No, if he says, you know, but my loyalty now lies with the Sun School. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to fuck your daughter. And I might marry her, even though she's basically my sister.
That's exactly how he phrased it, too, yeah. Which was weird. It was kind of out of tone with the whole rest of the movie, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, the samurai guys show up. The three of them, like, follow this guy from the Sun School. I thought it was the brother at first, but it's not. They just kind of look similar. They have the same fucking haircut.
Those are a couple of the guys where I was like, is that the same guy? Is that not the same guy? I couldn't really tell.
They're like wearing the same outfit and they have the same haircut. And I'm like, God, you guys look so much alike.
When you get that far down the chain, the characters start getting a little muddled. But yeah, like that top tier, excellent casting. The middle tier, not so much.
Yeah, the top guys all have the movie star faces, and then the other guys are just like, yeah, hey, throw them in there. They can kick and stuff.
And they even did that with the ladies, because Ying Ying and what's the other one, Yen?
Chu Hung.
All right, but her last name is Yen. Okay. They both have really distinctive faces. They're both very beautiful, but they both have very distinctive looks from each other, and they even give them the different, you know, they do that thing with the sideburn bit of hair, and Ying Ying has like a curly Q sideburn and Chu Hong has the straight sideburn.
Yep. Yep.
So it's like they did a really good job of giving everyone their own look. Like everyone really has their own look in the top tier of the cast, all the stars.
So yeah, they go and they fight this guy and they kick his ass. Well, one of them kicks his ass. They kill him, essentially. They take his body.
They don't just kick his ass. They end his ass.
They take him back to the school and they put him on like this cart and then they shove him in. They push him through the door and the door breaks open and then his dead body just kind of falls on the floor and slides a little bit. I'm like, yikes.
They fucking rocket him through that door. His dead body slides across the entire school and it's not a small room. Like it's longer. It's as long as my entire house.
Yeah, I'm like, that's dark.
To Jesus. End like right at the master's feet and just, you know, covered in blood and shit.
We were kind of having fun for a minute and now fucking shit's getting serious.
It got dark for a second.
Then we cut to another restaurant. Chu Hung is singing this fucking song about two sisters and the older one is this settling loser and the younger sister is this fucking badass who just gets everything she wants. I don't know.
No. It's not that. It's not just about that, because that I would kind of understand that. No, this was about, I paid attention to this part because that song is fucking weird. It is a weird, it's got to be some kind of cultural thing that just doesn't translate. But it's about these two sisters who are having a contest to see who has to marry the loser and who has to marry the hot guy with good prospects.
Oh, is that what it's about?
Yes. And the older sister only gets 99 points. Mind you, they do not explain what the points are, how they're achieved, nothing. Like, so much goes unexplained. But the older sister gets 99 points and the younger sister gets 101 points. And so the older sister has to marry this loser. And it's fucking weird, man. It is a weird song. And they translate the whole goddamn thing.
And it's lovely. It's so, it's fun. It was very strange.
It was a standout moment of the movie for me. I was like, this is bizarre. I didn't hate it, though. It was very entertaining.
So after the song, or during the song, I guess, Han is there. He's drinking. He's having a rough day. He tries to make his move on Chu Hung because they've been friends for a while, but she's like, no, thank you. And then she asks about Zihao, and he's like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, like, she comes to his table specifically to ask about Zihao.
Yep.
Because, yeah, they've got some kind of history together, and clearly Han wants a piece of that. And she's like, mm-mm, I'm all about that new guy dick.
Oh, I almost feel bad for him.
I feel bad for her because she really gets treated as an accessory character, you know? I mean, all the women kind of do in this movie. If you watch, there's not really any meaty roles for the ladies. Although Chu Hung does join forces with Han later in the movie and has something interesting to contribute to the story beyond just being eye candy. So I guess she did the best out of everybody, even though she then had a gruesome death. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, yep. I almost said it, but you did, so thank you. Then Han, you know, gets out of there. He takes a watch. He takes a walk, and he gets ambushed by the bad guys.
He's pissed.
Yeah, he's not in a good mood right now, and he's drunk, so it's all...
So, good combo.
The guys don't kick his ass, though, because he's gonna sell out Zihao. He tells them that he's learning the Iron Palm technique, and they're like,
yeah,
right,
they
well,
show up
be useful,
ostensibly
then.
To kill him in this scene, because they already killed the other guy, but he sad sacks his way into a deal.
Yep. And then Zihao gets a letter from somewhere, something, and he has to be at this place on a certain date. And it just immediately cuts to that date. We don't know how many days.
I think it's ostensibly a letter from Chu Hung.
Oh, that would make sense, I guess. But he doesn't like her, so I don't know.
Well, still, you know, like they were friends, you know. He doesn't want what she's selling, but she's still a nice lady, you know.
Maybe he's like, yeah, maybe we can get the dicky sticky, and then I can just tell her to go away.
Get the dicky sticky.
I've never heard that one before. That's
Jesus Christ.
That's how I hit on chicks. I'm like, hey, can I get my dicky sticky? And she's like, something that rhymes with sticky. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not too picky. There we go.
Oh my God. Oh. Okay, I wasn't ready for that. You gotta warn me about shit like that.
Well, then it wouldn't have the same effect. It wouldn't be funny anymore.
That's true, I guess. I'm glad I wasn't taking a drink of water when you said it.
So he does go to wherever the fucking letter tells him to go, and then he gets attacked, but he wrecks a few dudes before all of the fucking bad dudes come at him. He puts up a good fight, but eventually gets tied to a tree. This is another fucked up, I'm like, I don't like this part. This part fucking hurts.
He does use the iron palm technique to kill a couple of them.
He does.
Because,
I mean,
they're obviously trying to kill him.
Yeah, so...
It leaves this, like, red handprint whenever he uses it. It's pretty rad.
It's pretty cool. But he's not quite good enough at it yet, so that's why his palms aren't glowing yet.
Nope, that's why he loses his hands.
Yeah, because the bad guys tie him to a tree, then they proceed to break his fucking hands. Yikes.
This is like, again, you know, like I emphasize, a lot of this stuff would come back in later kung fu and martial arts movies, you know, like the disabling of the hero's limbs later on when they, again, spoiler alert, when they blind Han, but he comes back and gets his revenge as a blind warrior, you know?
Kind of my favorite part, the part where they pluck out his eyes.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking cool. I was really into that.
I was not prepared. I was like, what the fuck? Okay.
That was... Oh, you're talking about when they initially pluck out Han's eyes.
Yeah. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't.
Yeah. That did come as a surprise. I did not see it coming. Kind of like Han, but when he comes back in the end, I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about that scene because that scene's pretty fucking cool.
Okay. Sorry. They smash his hands.
Yeah. So they smash his hands. They leave him in the middle of the road and Chu Hung finds him and she brings him back to her home. Yeah, and she's basically just going to take care of him. He's sulking because his hand's broken and he can't do martial arts anymore. And she's like, but that's okay. I'm a woman. I do fine. Or something about a single mom. I fucking don't remember what the hell she said, but she said, just buck up, you piece of shit. You're a dude. You can find something else to do.
She's basically like, hey, if I, as a lowly woman, can survive on my own, you should be able to do fine. And you know what? I got to say, I agree with her on that one. Like,
I do too.
Like, it cannot be fucking easy to be a woman in this world.
A single woman, especially.
The larger world in general, too. But this, the world of this movie, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. No good. No good. And he's just basically like, all I've known is martial arts. And like, well, time to learn something else.
Buck up, you sad sack.
But, you know, no one knows where he is. So we cut back to Han, and Han says that he's involved with some whore.
This dude is such a douche.
He is.
And she comes back to help him in the end. Oh, he so doesn't deserve her.
Yeah, they're both dead, so it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day.
Yeah, that made me sad.
Yeah, it was kind of tragic. Very Shakespearean, this movie.
It is. I wouldn't change it, but it was a bummer.
Yep, and Sun's all bummed out because if Zihao doesn't come back, he'll have to send somebody else to the fucking tournament. That's no good.
Yeah, I'm not exactly weeping for Sun here.
Why not?
I feel like he's got the easiest burden of everybody.
Oh, yeah, kind of. But, you know, Han runs into Chu Hao and says he knows that she's been taking care of him, but he doesn't exactly know where he is. I'm like, so clearly he hasn't been invited into her house.
Would you? Jeez, no. This guy's like red flag central.
He's a fucking douche. So
yeah,
then
I see why she's avoiding him unless absolutely necessary.
Yeah, that's fair. So the brother then, the Ying Ying's brother, comes to talk to him at Chu Hung's house into coming back to the school to train for the tournament. And he's like, dude, you know she's in love with you, right? And Zhu Hao's like, yeah, she's all right, but I'm kind of into our sister.
Yeah, his heart belongs to Ying Ying.
Yes, and he's like, but cool, I'm gonna come train. It'll be awesome. And you know, she's all crying, and he says goodbye, and she's all sad because he never gave her the big D. Yes, I put that in my notes.
I feel bad for her. I really do. Like, she's a good person.
She's got Han. She can just fuck him.
Yeah. That is a lame consolation prize.
Yeah, she's a decent character. Yeah, you're right. I feel bad a little bit. But we're going to feel bad for somebody else here in a minute. We're going to cut to the first Sifu and Ying Ying. They're hanging out. The three samurai guys show up. We get a good scream-infused fight scene. They do a lot of, yeah, and just like screaming a lot.
Yeah, this is a good
flying one. Flying all over the place and just, it's pretty entertaining.
With good Sifu's magically expanding neck.
Yeah, he gets taken out rough though. One of them like chops his forehead and it splits open. I'm like, wow, yep. Holy shit! I didn't realize how violent these movies were gonna be.
Yeah, for its time, holy fuck, this was some intense stuff. If I'd have seen this as a teenager or something, this would have been a lot for me.
I'm
as sheltered as I was.
I'm here for it, man. This is awesome.
Oh, I loved it.
I would not have liked it as a teenager or a kid or anything. Like, these are movies that I could only appreciate in my 20s and 30s.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Then essentially they fucking stab him and cut him up a little bit. And then they leave him to just kind of hang out there. Ying finds him and Sifu says, dude, don't tell Zihao until after the tournament because he needs to focus.
And she does see the guys walking away from the school. So like she identifies.
Oh yeah, she does. She walks back just as they're leaving. Yeah.
Yeah. But she doesn't see what happened until after they've already left.
Yeah. And then we cut to Zihao at the school and it's time to train. It starts out not going so well, but we've all seen Rocky and the Karate Kid, so we know how this is gonna go.
Yeah, his hands are gonna magically heal, because he's only got a month to get them back in shape until it's time for the tournament, and he's like immediately, you know, smashing his way through tree limbs and shit like that. And
he just needs a pep talk from his buddy. That's all.
Yeah, it's like, if you believe you can, then your bones will heal faster.
Yeah, the power of positive thinking. Work that fucking secret and shit. So then Sun actually has a tournament in within his school to like select the people who the person who's actually going to the bigger tournament. And
yeah.
It comes down to Han and Zihao, and of course Zihao kicks his ass. Well, no, he doesn't actually. No, he does not. They fight and they kind of come to this weird, like, not really a standstill, but Sun's like, stop, stop, stop. I know who's going. It's Zihao. And then Han's like, fuck this. I quit, basically.
He gets pretty butthurt over the whole thing.
So much so that we learn, like, it's obvious that this happened, but it's confirmed now because we cut to Han going to Bad Sifu's place and going like, dude, I didn't fucking win the tournament. So fuck, because he's been a double agent for a few minutes.
Yeah, and this is where he finds out how duplicitous Bad Sifu can be.
Yes. So we haven't we mentioned it, but Bad Sifu's constantly like, no, we can't kill those people. No, he
and then fucking kills him.
He's like, no, you don't kill those people, and then I'm gonna send these guys to kill him. There's no honor in killing these people, but I'm gonna send these guys. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm so confused.
Yeah, like there's literally a scene earlier on where his son says, or no, excuse me, not his son, but the guy from the opening attack, the bald guy from the very first attack on Good Sifu.
Yes.
He says, we have to destroy that school. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? We're not going to destroy that school. There's no honor. Martial arts is one big family. We'd never destroy that school. And then that guy leaves, and then the three Japanese guys come in. He's like, I want you to destroy that school.
Everybody here already hates the Japanese. There's a lot of tension between China and Japan at this point, too.
I don't know, again, what point in history this movie is based, but I know China and Japan in World War II, there was some very foul shit that went down between the two of them.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that. Oh no, maybe not. I don't know. Like I'm thinking like Fist of Fury. Fuck, the Bruce Lee movie where he fights the Japanese guys in the fucking martial arts school and stuff.
It's been forever since I've seen that. I don't actually remember that.
I honestly don't remember what fucking time frame. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The Chinese and the Japanese hate each other, and they're fucking. And there's a lot of talk about it in the movie.
This isn't even 30 full years after World War II. And like I said, some fucking evil shit went down during World War II between the Chinese and Japanese. I don't know if you have read up on any of it, but it was vile.
No, I don't know any details, but I can imagine. I don't really want to imagine.
Suffice to say, it's the kind of shit that you hold a grudge about.
That's fair. So Bad Sifu then, he sicks the samurai guys on Han for basically being a fuck up, because that's his whole thing. And then Ming, the fucking Bad Sifu's son, is the one who ends up plucking out this motherfucker's eyes. You don't see it happen. You think he just like pokes him out and he's like, oh God, I can't see my eyes. And then his eyes are in his fucking hand.
Yeah, it cuts to his palm and he opens it and just drops two eyeballs on the ground. Two perfectly spherical eyeballs, no optic nerve attached.
And I'm here for it. I'm good.
It was pretty awesome.
Like,
and Han swears revenge.
Oh, well.
As they throw his ass out in the streets.
Oh, that sounds fair. But then the brother character, he goes back to Good Sifu's place and he learns what happens, and that's sad. So him and Ying Ying are going to get their asses to the tournament here soon. Zihao is headed out.
And she tells him he can't.
Don't fucking tell him.
He can't tell Zihao.
Yeah, keep your fucking mouth shut, dick.
Snitches get stitches.
They do. Zihao is headed to the tournament, though, when Chen Long comes to tell him. Oh, Chen Long witnessed this whole thing with the eyeballs and stuff, and the whole time he's kind of watching like, what the fuck? This is really messed up. I don't think I'm into this. He doesn't say it, but you can tell by his facial expressions because he's like doing a thing. He's acting. It's kind of crazy.
Again, this is Bad Sifu doing this to the guy who had worked for him, you know? So yeah, I think Chen Long is looking at this going, this is not what I signed up for. This is fucked up.
Yeah. He's over that shit. So he goes to Zihao and says, hey man, you're gonna get ambushed up here in a few minutes. And Zihao's like, get the fuck out of here. Why are you telling me this? He's like, he's a dishonorable prick. I don't want to work with him anymore. Here's some knives. And I'm like, all right. Because
they have samurai swords.
Because they have swords, so he needs something. So, of course, he gets ambushed by the samurai. He takes out the other two, but the leader, who I think that's Okada. That's a pretty good fight scene, too. He's
okay,
like,
yeah.
You know, lots of blood, lots of violence, good stuff.
Yeah, it rages into the forest, and yeah, sword fighting, knife fighting, throws and stabs, kills these two guys with the knives, and then it's down to him and the leader.
Yep, and then they fight a little bit for a second, then Chen Long is like, hey, you get your ass to the tournament, because apparently he's late, which we don't learn until a few minutes minutes from now.
Yeah, so like they say later that he left early but still hasn't arrived at the tournament yet. This is a 10-minute aside. Like, if a 10-minute interruption made him late for the tournament, how fucking early did he leave? Like, is he just the slowest walker in history? What the fuck is going on?
It's a little weird. I don't really understand. Yeah, it's again, it's like
the only part of the movie where I was like, this is kind of bullshit.
It's like Game of Thrones. The distance means nothing or everything. It just depends on the episode.
Anyway, yeah, so Chen Long shows up and fights the guy instead.
Yep. And you know, but when we leave him, he's busy getting his ass kicked. Like, he gets knocked down and then we cut away and we don't know what happens to him for a few scenes.
He doesn't just get knocked down, he gets thrown forehead first, luckily it's his superpower, through a fucking tree. It's glorious.
Yeah. Then we cut to the tournament and Ming is kicking ass, which is a problem because he's a bad person. I wrote that in my notes. So Zihao arrives just in time. They were about to be like, I think he forfeits because he's late, and he gets there just in time not to be disqualified.
Yep.
And,
like, literally just in time not to be.
And I'm like, how do the brackets
The judge is verbally disqualifying him, yeah, as he shows up.
How do the brackets work in this thing? How has Ming been allowed to, like, fight all these people, and then Zihao just shows up and he's like, I'm here, and they're like, cool, get to fighting. I'm like, this doesn't make
sense.
It's
a little weird, like, based on, like, they had similar brackets at the school, remember? Because Han had to fight multiple guys before he got to Zihao. So it's like, okay, so the winner just has to keep fighting until he loses, but doesn't that kind of handicap him in the later fights if that guy gets to come in fresh? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, maybe it is like the rules of the Kung Fu tournament. It's like a endurance.
I guess, possibly. I don't know. But only one guy has to endure. Seems a little fucked up, but whatever. Okay, the guy's a douchebag. Yeah. I don't really care.
We're having fun. We're having fun right now. Xu Hong is about to suck Zihao off, but Ying and the brother guy
wait,
show
what?
Up.
I don't remember this part at all.
She's talking to him and being like, hey, how you doing? She's about to say, like, hey, let's fuck, big boy. And then Ying Ying and her brother show up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, I forgot about that.
And I said before, they show up before she loosens up her mouth. Because
that was, again, I feel so bad for her. Because, she is a good person. Like, she's been really good and cool throughout this entire movie. And it's just like, oh, this poor gal. All Ying Ying did was grow up with the dude.
But he loves her.
I know.
You can't fight love or something. That's a song, right?
Well, to quote one of the great love stories of all time, the heart wants what the heart wants.
And the heart wants Ying Ying.
Or Sun Yi in the case of the person who originally said it.
Gross. Ew. See, now we're back to creepy old dudes. What the fuck? Why does everybody suck so bad?
What the fuck is wrong with me?
A lot, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Anyway, suffice to say, I feel really bad for Chung.
Yeah, and just before she's ready to leave, she's leaving, and as she's leaving, she bumps into Han, who is now blind.
Yeah, he's wandering the streets just trying to feel out his surroundings. No cane or anything like that, just blindfold and arms outstretched.
And everybody's just kind of like, the fuck, man?
And after the colossal douche he was to her, she's still like, hey, let me help you.
Yeah,
God,
she's so sweet.
None of these creeps deserve her.
Hey, Zihao's a nice guy. He just, you know, his heart and his dick belong to another woman.
Okay, yeah, I guess he's not a creep. He had plenty of opportunities to be creepy and never was, so all right. But Han is a full-on creep.
Yeah, he's an actual hero. He's an honorable guy, as far as we know.
He is. Zihao, not Han.
Yeah, fuck Han. Except Han gets a really cool scene later, so I'm good with that. All right, now we're on to the final match between Ming and Zihao. Zihao? Fucking name.
Zihao.
So they're fighting, and it's really cool, and then Zihao's hands, they glow red, and it looks like he's gonna use the iron palm, but and then...
And the sound, the...
Everybody kind of looks at him like, oh, gasp, he's gonna use the thing, and then he's like, nope, I'm fine, not gonna use it.
And good Sifu kind of, like, looks relieved. He looks scared there for a second.
Yep. because he's supposed to use it for righteous deeds, even though this is technically a righteous deed, not letting these assholes take over the kung fu
community. Yeah, killing this piece of shit would be a righteous deed, but it's not the right time.
No, no. So he wins, obviously, and then Bad Sifu then congratulates Sun, but really, he just wants to get close enough so he can stab him.
That piece of shit.
Then Sun dies, then Ying goes, hey man, bad news, original Good Sifu is also dead. Yep.
It's a real shame that, like, there's not really a way to talk through these fights. You know?
Not really. It's kind of hard.
Because they're so fucking good. Like, that final fight, oh, it was good. It was a really good, like, I wanted to see him use the iron palm, but then when I realized, you know, after Bad Sifu kills Middle Sifu, I realized, oh, okay, so it's not ending here, because I thought it was going to end with the tournament. So yeah, like, I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't get to see the iron palm in the fight, but aside from that, it's a fucking good fight.
Yeah, it is, and nope, we got more. So we're going to cut to the bad guys hang out, they're home. Han is waiting for them in the fucking dark. They're not able to turn on the lights because they have electricity. Again, I don't know what year this is supposed to be.
Yeah, but the electricity has gone out for some reason. Yes. So what's that douchebag's name again?
Ming or Han?
No, Ming. Ming's like, I'll go light the oil lamp.
But when he tries, Han decides he's gonna poke his eyes out. So now it's two blind assholes, except Han's had a little time to get used to it.
Han just springs out of the fucking darkness and rips his eyes out. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's good. And he's like, I'm going to fight you in the dark. Fuck you guys.
I was so into this scene. Yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, basically it turns into like a horror movie for a second.
It's really good. It's really good. There's this quiet stalking around. And then when Han can't find Bad Sifu, turns out Chuang is there and she whispers to him, in front of you. And and Han's got a knife, by the way.
Yes, yes.
And he stabs out. And does he cut him? I can't remember.
A couple times he gets him. But yeah, no, she's telling him where to swing the knife and shit. And I'm like, teamwork, look at that.
But then Ming follows her voice and suddenly she can't talk because she has to hide from him. So, it's a really well done scene.
And then I actually almost feel bad for Bad Sifu if he wasn't such a fucking prick. He's like wildly swinging, trying to get Han, but he accidentally fucking finger stabs his own son and he kills him. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we realize that this guy has the ability to like use his hand like a knife and just like stab right into people, and he ends up stabbing right into Ming's chest, and it's like, ooh. Yeah, that was a bridge too far for this dude. Now he's like, motherfucker, I'm gonna end this.
Yep. So Han and Xu Heng try to escape after that, but I said she ends up with a splitting headache and Han's head and Han's stomach explodes.
Yeah, he deals with it. Once they get out in the hallway where there's light, it's fucking over for them.
Ooh, yeah, they do the thing where they chop her head and it breaks open, and then he reaches into Han's stomach and lots of blood and shit everywhere. I love it.
And then Ji Hao shows up like just too late to save him.
Just too late. And then we get another killer fight scene with lots of blood and breaking bones and shit, because Ji Hao's just fucking hammering through all these henchmen.
And now the iron palm is unleashed.
Oh yeah, all on all of them, and all the blood pouches are just like, I'm like, yes.
The best one was he hits this dude in the back, like high on his back, and he just blows blood out his mouth. It was so fucking good. I love this scene.
Yeah, this is the good stuff. And then he finishes those guys off, and then he goes to get Bad Sifu, and he opens the door, and Bad Sifu stabs himself in the stomach. He's killing himself, because what does he have to live for now?
Oh, yeah, he goes out. Like, I was a little pissed about that.
And it's just like, damn, guys. You guys just no chill here. This is a fucking, tragedy, and it's fucking awesome.
I was a little mad that he didn't get iron palmed.
Yeah. It's a little more tragic this way, though. And we have to save the iron palm for the next fight.
That's true. And the next fight is pretty cathartic.
Yeah.
Because this Japanese dude has been a piece of shit the entire fucking movie.
Yeah, so they're the three of them, the brother, Ying, and Ji Hao, are all headed off together, and everything seems like it's gonna be okay. Except we forgot about two characters. We forgot about the samurai guy and Chen. So Mr. Samurai comes walking in with Chen's head in his hand.
Which is
him.
A very distinctive head, so it's immediately identifiable.
Yeah. And Zhihao is not into it. Like, he doesn't, I don't think he particularly cares about Chen necessarily, but since he helped him out, he's like, well, that's mean. Fucking, there's got to be a level of respect for him at that point.
And then Bad Samurai draws his sword, and suddenly it's Iron Palm versus Japanese steel.
Yeah, so Zhihao gets cut up a little bit because, you know, he's using his fucking sword. But then Zhihao jumps around for a second. It doesn't quite work. Like, he's doing the jumpy thing just over and over. But eventually he's
that wasn't the best necessarily.
He's like, fuck it, I'll just stop the sword with my hands. And he does. He just grabs
That was what I was waiting for. Fucking yeah. Iron Palm, it had to come to that, right? It had to come to him catching the sword.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. And then he manages to kind of swivel aside, and then the sword stabs into a post, and then he punches it and breaks it in half, and now the sword's fucking useless, and it's a fucking hand-to-hand fight now. But he's using those glowing red palms, and he's just, like, pounding this dude and just making him fly into walls and shit, and it's pretty fucking epic.
And admittedly, this guy's a fucking badass because he takes the Iron Palm 4 times before going down.
Yeah, it's a good one. Eventually,
most of those guys who got hit with the Iron Palm, one hit, dead. This guy, 4 hits to kill him.
Yeah, so, you know, the bad guys after that, they're all dead and everything's fine. Everybody's happy, except not really. This is very depressing.
It's pretty fucking dark, actually. A lot of dead bodies in this one.
Yeah, so the three of them just kind of walk off into the sunset with that trumpet music playing. And
the end. I think it's the sunrise, actually.
Oh, that makes more sense. Walk off in that fucking direction. And it's just like a Western.
Yep, and then literally ends with a shot of the sun coming up over,
over
a mountain.
So, wow, that was depressing.
I thought it was badass.
No, this movie, I'm so fucking glad I liked it. I'm definitely looking forward to diving into the rest of this shit. It's gonna be awesome.
This set a high standard for the other movies to live up to, I will say that. I'm hoping this isn't an Avengers Grimm situation, but if it is, man, Januarys are pretty good for us.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not. Yeah, I want it to not be done after that.
Well, I mean, this is a curated collection, so it's entirely possible that every single one of them is gonna be awesome. What's next month?
Another boxer. The boxer from Shantung.
Okay, all right. Well, if there's one thing this movie taught me, is that the term boxer cannot be trusted.
No. You know which one I'm most excited about, though?
Peking Man?
Yep.
I had a feeling. You've mentioned it before.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So yeah, next month, The Boxer from Shantung. I don't know what that one's even about. I can't remember.
I've never heard of it, yeah. So it's going to be all new to me. But before we go, I guess we should officially announce that during the course of this episode, we did come up with a title for the series, but it was off mic. So it's going to be 12 Fingers of Shaw.
Oh, dude, we'll go with that, but I'm just gonna toss this one out here. A shot at love with Sharks Across Hollywood. It's a Tila Tequila VH1 dating show.
Oh, no, I got it. I got the reference. I'm just wondering what the fuck inspired that shit.
Just me thinking about it right this second.
No. Nope. I'm not supporting that one bit.
Hey,
forget it.
It was funny. It made you laugh, so there you go.
It made me laugh for the wrong reasons, okay? Oh my god.
Myself. When we do the second one, we'll call it something weird like that.
I was thinking Shaw Scope 2 could be Enter the 12 Chambers or something like that.
Except there's 14 movies in that set.
Well, then we can't do that.
Oh, we can make it
unless
work.
We're going to cram extra movies in.
I'll cram something in.
Yeah, you will. Let me get lubed up first. Okay, let's wrap this up and then we can focus on that.
How about some final thoughts on this, even though we've probably delivered all the final thoughts that we need, but fuck it, let's do it anyways.
Very excited. Great opener for what I'm hoping is going to be the best Patreon year yet.
God, I hope so. Five Fingers of Death. It's a good movie. I'm very excited that I liked it. Shaw Brothers has come through. Now, I mean, I'm sure they can't all be winners, but again, you said it was a curated collection, so they're presumably only picking the best, so there you go.
Fingers crossed. All five.
Don't you have 10 fingers?
The movie's called Five Fingers of Death, Andrew.
Fuck. I'm dumb. It's fine.
But until next month.
Yeah. So yeah, well, we'll be back next month on this Patreon adventure, this new Patreon adventure, with the boxer from Shantung.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Yes. Oh yeah. I haven't insulted anybody yet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Like call their mothers whores or something.
Nah, their moms don't even like them. So why would I tell them that?
There you go. Okay. Now we're on brand again.
There we go. All right. So we'll be back next month, but until then, stay Jossum.
hang the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there, because they cut me. They're just like riding a wire fence. These are almost, these are the best that I've had anywhere in the United States. But when I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So leave me, you never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from the where the zipper ends, around under my, back to my bunghole.